Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw the people. He looked and he saw. And we're told that his heart yearned for them. He yearned that they would know the truth about who he was, what he had brought for them, and the life that they might have. He saw so many helpless, lost children. And the word in Greek, which I'm not going to be able to pronounce, sounds like something a bit slight splogenes, means he felt it in his guts. That word for compassion there means that Jesus felt for them with his guts. Now, we kind of need to feel that visceral quality, because this isn't a head thing, this is a whole thing. Those of you that have ever had a strong feeling, and that will be all of you, know that strong feelings do not come down, they rise up. When you get angry or furious with someone, it rises up, doesn't it? Just as it does when you panic, just as it does when you're fearful, that feeling rises up. And then that's what Jesus felt. He felt this rising up of passion, compassion for the people. He saw that they were sheep without a shepherd, that they were confused, aimless, frightened, clueless, angry, anxious. He saw them just as God sees us. Aren't we too so often harassed and helpless? Aren't we too fearful of what the next moment might bring? Friends, at harvest, we rightly give thanks for God's abundant goodness. We say our God is trustworthy, that he's faithful and true. We say that our God is the God of manna and quail, of life-giving water, of overflowing bread and fishes. The harvest is truly plentiful, and we know that. We believe that. We trust that, that this harvest is truly abundant. We also know that there is enough for our need. But as the saying goes, we know there is not enough for our greed. We know we play our part in the suffering of the world. There truly is enough for everyone. If only we would share. And so, because we know that there is enough, we give thanks. And we worship. We know the truth, don't we? Don't we? Maybe some of you aren't so sure. Do we know the truth? Yes? Is there enough for everyone? Does God provide for everyone? Yes. And so we should worship and we should give thanks. And I really wish we could, because I think that changes everything. I really wish we could worship without losing sight of what matters. And as important as they are, it's not songs. It's not styles. It's not preferences. It's not vestments and liturgy. It's not forms of words. But your hearts, honestly given to the one God who gives you everything. The church knows the truth. And so we should be a community of praise and thanksgiving in all that we do, in spirit and in truth, and not in selfish desire for what we want. We need somehow to remember that every breath that we breathe is a gift. Every breath, every moment is a miracle. When we feel that, when we know that, we can't do anything else but praise, but give thanks. Because we praise the one, don't we, who made us, who watches over us, who sees us and feels in his guts for us, who cares for us more than we could possibly begin to imagine. Our praise, our thanksgiving matters. Because it acknowledges that heaven and earth are not shaped by us, but by the hands of God. The one we praise is good. The one we praise can be trusted. The one we praise is faithful to all generations. The one we praise is love himself. True praise turns us from selfish despair and helplessness to hope, generosity, and our own compassion. True praise, as we prayed earlier, changes us. There's a scene in Mary Magdalene where Jesus goes up to the temple. We know the story of how he turns over the tables. But in the film, it captures it in a slightly different way. There's utter chaos in this place, this vast, vast temple. And a temple guard is taking money for the sacrifices. And Jesus goes up to him and says, "Why are you doing this?" And the guard looks at him and in all honesty says, "Well, this is what we do. This is how we do it. This is what our religion tells us to do. This is what our scriptures tell us to do." And Jesus asks him a simple question. He says, "And who is transformed? Who is changed by this?" And then he turns the tables over. None of this is worth a jot if we are not changed. If we are not transformed. None of our words, none of our services. Unless we praise with all our hearts in such a way that we are changed, it is meaningless. It is dust. Our praise matters because we matter. Because all of creation, that beautiful film we saw, matters to God. So much to God that he looks on us and he aches for us. He feels in his guts for us. The creator of all things loves you to the point of death and beyond. God did not watch as those sheep went astray, did he? Jesus saw the hearts of a broken people and moved by grace and compassion, he entered their harassed and helpless lives. And that, in truth, should be the direction of travel of our lives, the direction of travel for all who say that Jesus is Lord. For those who say they know him and trust him and love him and praise him. That is the direction of travel for us. For in as much as we truly praise him, we become like him. We then follow him as he calls us into the field. God entered our mess and muddle. Why? Why? We are told, scriptures tell us why he did it. Because he loves us so much. God loved the world so much that he came into the world for us, to die for us. You matter. This creation matters. He chose to enter the reality of life and the reality of love. He chose to enter life as it really is, the smelly sheepfold. You may have heard me say this before. In fact, you may have heard it elsewhere. Pope Francis, who I have a great admiration for, as he tries to shake up his own church, he said that his ministers should not be princes of the church, but pastors, shepherds. And that they should not smell of perfume, but of the sheep. Beware the minister who smells of perfume. Beware the minister with clean hands and clean feet. Beware the respectable minister. And in that life, Jesus enters into, doesn't he, acts of justice, healing, mercy, and words of truth. He practices love, compassion, one person at a time, one step at a time. Jesus walks, God, the God of all the universe, walks at our speed in Jesus. And that's what he calls us to. To go one step at a time with the person who is next to you, with your neighbor. Jesus saw them and he loved them all. He truly is the Lord of the harvest of life. And so the gospel calls us to gratitude, to thanksgiving, to praise. The gospel calls a grateful people, the people who know the truth, to be different in the world. Found sheep amongst the lost sheep, smelling like the sheep. Knee deep in the mess and the muddle of the world. The faithful Saviour intends that in a society that craves violence, resentment, anger and vengeance, that his harvest people will practice forgiveness because we have been forgiven. The faithful shepherd intends that in a world of scarcity and greed, his harvest people will practice endless generosity, sharing without grudge and not needing to hoard for ourselves. The faithful Lord intends that in our society of exclusivism that wants to turn away those who are not like us, that his harvest people should practice hospitality, an open welcome to all. The faithful King intends that in a world of exploitation and greed, that his harvest people should care deeply about real issues of justice, about nitty-gritty, down-to-earth things like food, like water, like housing, like hospitals, like prisons, like the groaning of this world and all of its creators, all of its creatures. In flesh and blood, tears and smiles, he calls to you to be generous, to be hospitable, and to be forgiving. When we are truly children of God's harvest, we resolve to give thanks and to live in the way of Jesus himself. Then we become workers in his field, those workers that God so desires, the workers that are so few. And then our neighborhoods are transformed. And so are we. not by superficial acts of religion or piety, not by civic pride, not by flower shows and egos, not even by church services, but by real, deep and costly sacrifice and love. The world that is held in Christ's hand is a world filled with praise and thanks, always knowing and expressing and living out gratitude. The Father, the Lord of the harvest, has endowed us with a share of his new world. The Creator has given us life. True gratitude and true praise is an act of harvesting for God what is truly God's. And that is you. You and all of the children of this world. Men, women, and children. It is an act of planting our life into the field of God's love, of growing in grace and of growing into the kingdom life. Our life, and I want you to trust this, our life is to be one like God's life. Feeling the pain of the world in our guts, willing to enter into the field of the real world just as it is around us, not as we want it to be, but as it is. In solidarity with the people that we find difficult. In solidarity with humanity as it really is. These are the marks of the harvest worker. Because they are the marks of Jesus himself. And so, that's it. As I come to an end, again, I say to you, as I think I do so often, that is who you are. That is how much you are loved. That is us. The fruit of the lives of the people of Christ is generosity, hospitality, grace, and forgiveness. In the face of the world as it really is, in the face of all the difficulties and the pains around us, all of the frustrations, all of the awkward people, all of those children who won't behave themselves. In the face of a people around us and amongst us today who are desperately lost and so will be angry, will be resentful, will be deaf and blind and afraid. Yes, they will be, and yet you must go and harvest amongst them. Whatever the cost, we see the harvest, don't we? When everyone else has given up seeing. And by our life, God will be glorified and the world will be healed. That is us. Amen.